Hey, I'm Bruce Weinstein, and this is the podcast Cooking with Bruce and Mark.
And I'm Mark Scarborough, and together with Bruce, as you well know, we have written 36 cookbooks, are writing our 37th cookbook right now. In fact, it's due in about a week, so don't even talk to me right now. We'll talk a lot more about that ahead in the podcast when we get ready and willing and able to actually speak about that book. It's now just like a billion jigsaw pieces all around my head. I can't even deal with it. Oh, anyway, we're not dealing with that on this podcast. Instead, we've got a one-minute cooking tip. We're going to head for the kitchen and make chocolate macaroons. This is a recipe I brought to our marriage. It's hard to believe it, but I brought this one to our marriage. We're going to make this very simple chocolate macaroons, and we'll tell you what's making us happy in food this week.
Our one-minute cooking tip. What is it this week, Mark?
Well, okay, this is something that actually comes out of the cookbook that we are currently writing, and that is if you're making a brine
for a pickle
of any sort, well, or brining, let's say you're going to brine chicken even, you should always use kosher salt, not table salt, because, and here's why, table salt has anti-caking agents in it, and these anti-caking agents, particularly with pickles and those kind of things, will over time fall out of suspension and cloud the brine. It's not such a big deal when you're brining chicken breasts, but if you're making pickles or relishes or anything like that at home, table salt can end up giving you murk, and you don't want murk.
Will sea salt work in this case?
Yes, it will. Sea salt will work. It's sometimes a bit harder to dissolve than kosher salt. And, of course, you can always use pickling or canning salt, which is just really, actually, to be honest with you, much more finely ground sea salt. Table salt, we got nothing against it. I mean, I use it when I bake. I use it all the time. But I can just tell you that it will cloud brines. And one of the ways you know if, let's say, a brine has gone off is that it gets exceptionally murky.
Yeah, to the point where you can barely see the pickles in it.
Yeah.
Ew.
Ew. And so if you're doing any of that, you really want to use kosher salt because it's a more refined. It's not that it's somehow better for you nutritionally. I know there's a million TikTok influencers who claim it is. It's not true.
It just doesn't have the additives.
That's right. It doesn't have the anti-caking agents that can fall out of suspension and cloud your brine. Okay, before we get to the kitchen and head there to make my chocolate macaroons, let me say that it would be great if you subscribe to this podcast, if you rate it, liked it, do all those things that you can do to it. We are unsupported and unsponsored by choice because we want to be able to say anything we want to be able to say, like how table salt has caking agents in it or anti-caking agents, which if we were sponsored by Morton's, we couldn't say. So we want to be able to say anything that we can say.
Well, you just killed that potential.
I think that one's been dead for a long time. So it would be great if you could rate, like, and even write a review, if possible, on a platform for this podcast. That would be great. Okay, up next, we are headed to the kitchen.
True, we are recording this 1 week before Passover in 2024. Or is that 5783? I don't know what year that is.
I don't know.
And this is going up on the first night of Passover.
Wait, I'm sorry. I don't know, but I'm the Christian. Now, what's wrong with you that you don't know what year this is? Okay,
And it's irrelevant that Passover is here, except that macaroons are usually served at Passover because they're not made with flour. But these are delicious anytime.
These aren't the kind of macaroons your grandmother pulled out of that can.
Oh, go macaroons out of the can. They were soft and mushy and gross. There was
I remember being at Passover with you, and the macaroons out of the can. This is long after my Christian roots. And I remember picking up one of them and squishing it like a disc.
And grease actually squeezes out of them. Oh,
you could rub a little on your face for moisturizing.
Oh, yeah, over zits. It's disgusting. What you hear is our oven is on. It is heated to 350 Fahrenheit, 175 centigrade, and now you hear Mark putting a piece of parchment into a large lipped baking sheet.
Yes, I'm going to put this parchment down because we need a little bit of buffer between the metal of the sheet and the macaroons we're making. And I should tell you that I'm making chocolate coconut macaroons. These are not almond flavored, like the ones out of the can, those coconut macaroons. But instead, these are chocolate macaroons. And I want to tell you how I got this recipe. I didn't get it. I kind of made it up. I grew up in Dallas, and we always went to Kubi's for delicatessen. And Kubi's sold these kind of chocolate coconut macaroons. And as a kid, it was the big treat after my hot pastrami sandwich to go. And it's always hot pastrami. I don't know why we had to add the hot
because
to that.
You could have a cold pastrami sandwich.
I suppose, but anyway,
people do it.
I guess,
and they put ketchup on it.
Oh, gosh! Wow, we really are in Dallas now. Okay. Anyway, my mother did not. My mother put prepared horseradish and mustard on her hot pastrami sandwich, on rye, of course. Anyway, after lunch, it was always lunch, I would go run for the chocolate macaroons in the counter. And so over the years, I tried to figure out how to do this. So as Bruce says, this is the way. I've lined a baking sheet with parchment paper, and we've got the oven heated up. And now, what's next?
We have four large egg whites, and they are in the mixing bowl of our stand mixer. And they are at room temperature.
Yes, I can tell you that I put these in the mixing bowl about 2 hours ago. And the reason why this is because egg whites are so full of protein that the protein crimps up when it's cold. It doesn't elongate. And so when it gets to room temperature, those protein strands get longer and looser. And they actually can trap air better. Just think about people on beach chairs. They get looser and oilier as they sit out on the beach. So you want your egg white proteins to be very...
Oh, now I'm imagining sand in my macaroons.
Just imagine suntan oil. That's what we should flavor these with.
Banana. Banana boat.
Nice. Florida macaroons. Gross.
All right, so I'm turning the mixer on, and we're adding a pinch of salt, and we're adding half a teaspoon cream of tartar, which is acidic, and it helps stabilize the macaroons. Right. So when we fold the other ingredients in, it doesn't deflate so much.
Yeah, there's a little, let's just be really weirdly historical here. Cream of tartar is a leftover product of wine production, but that's not where I'm going. Actually, what happens here is cream of tartar is added because we have stopped cooking in copper cookware. Mm-hmm. And the old French chefs who would beat egg whites with salt in copper bowls didn't need this acidic help to stabilize the egg white. So since we've moved away from cooking in or beating or baking in copper bowls, we have to then kind of adjust the formula a bit, and thus the half teaspoon of cream of tartar. Okay, so these things are going round and round and round and round, and we're going to get them to soft peaks. What are soft peaks, Chef?
So basically, if I turn off the mixer, let me do that, and I lift up the beater, you see that the top of the meringue doesn't even form a peak yet. It's not big enough. When it's at soft peak, it means I lift up this beater and the egg whites stick to it and the tip of the peak just bends over a little bit.
Right.
And we're not there yet. So I'm going to put this back on and it's not going to take long. And you know the test, actually, the perfect test for this is you take the beaters out of the mixer and you turn the bowl upside down over your spouse's head. If the meringue doesn't fall out, it's right.
Okay, no, really, the real test here is the peaks either need to look like your mother's hair after she takes the curlers out.
Oh, excellent.
That soft peak, or your mother's hair after she sticks her finger in an electric socket and it's sticking all out.
That's too far.
In various ways.
Okay.
Well, cartoons have not lied to me. I know they haven't. Okay,
so I'm going to look at this again. These are actually looking much better
we're
now.
There.
Okay.
They take on a little bit of a glossy, not terribly glossy, but a little bit of a glossy.
And they very
shape.
Mound up. And now we're going to start putting the sugar in. We have 200 grams or 1 cup of sugar. We're going to put it in 1 tablespoon or 12 grams at a time.
You do not have to use fancy sugar with this. If you're using caster sugar, just make sure you're at our weight of 200 grams, not any volume, and about a tablespoon at a time. And the reason we want to do this is to make sure that the sugar dissolves, but also so that it gets evenly distributed throughout the mixture. And this is going to take some time.
Well, how do you know when it's done? How do you know when there's enough beating?
So we're going to actually cut away here in a second, but what we're going to do is keep doing this. And when we're right, and if you put your clean fingers in the mixture, it shouldn't feel sandy.
No grains at all.
Right.
Just smooth.
Right, exactly. It should feel pretty smooth. Some people are going to say, can we use super fine sugar? Don't waste your money. Honestly,
but you can if you have it in the house.
And again, go by weight, not by volume. But again, super fine sugar is just really expensive. You can do this with regular granulated white sugar. You just have to take your time at one tablespoon at a time. Okay, we're back and it's ready. So I'm going to turn the mixer off. And now what are we going
to
do?
So now we're going to take the beaters out. And so we have room to do this. And I am dumping in a 14-ounce package of sweetened shredded coconut.
That's 400 grams for those of you who are following in another country.
And why am I using sweetened when there's already sugar in there? Because this particular macaroon is going to get cocoa, which has no sugar in it. So we need to balance that with extra sweet.
Right.
And it's going to give us a chewy inside while we have a crispy outside.
It
so
does.
I'm folding this coconut in, and I don't want to overdo it because I don't want to deflate all these egg whites.
Right. So the cocoa's going in, and what it is in U.S. volumes is 3/4 cup of cocoa powder, unsweetened cocoa powder, plus 2 additional tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder. Don't you dare use hot chocolate mix. Unsweetened cocoa powder. It doesn't matter whether it's Dutch or natural. We don't care. If you're going by weight, this is 75 grams of dried cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're doing it just until this cocoa is fully incorporated. I don't want to see any more white, but I don't want to overdo it. And now we have to form the macaroons, and there are two schools of this. And Mark's going to do one school, which is taking a tablespoon and dolloping on.
It's a very hefty, overfilled tablespoon of it.
And I'm using the other school, which is I'm taking a 2-tablespoon cookie dough scoop, and I'm making perfectly rounded half mounds.
Yeah, I actually don't like the rounded ones. I will confess to you, I don't. And it has to do with Koobies in Dallas, because the macaroons I got when I was a kid were all spiky with coconut, you know, all around it, sticking out. And so it just reminds me of my childhood. So I like it spiky. And mine end up very spiky. And I like that. So what you're going to do is fill up your tray with these. They need maybe an inch, 3 centimeters maybe between them.
Not much because they don't really spread.
Right, exactly. And then you're going to bake these about 20 minutes until they're firm to the touch, but not crunchy to the touch.
Yeah.
So firm to the touch is what you're looking. They will continue to set up on a cooling rack. So we're going to come back and take them out of the oven.
The house smells like chocolate. That's just like, it smells like coconutty chocolate.
It does.
And these have cooled, so we can pick them right off of the parchment. We let them cool right there on the parchment, and we just pick them off and eat them.
And you realize this has 6-ingredient recipe, right? Egg whites, salt, cream of tartar, sugar, the sweetened coconut, and then the cocoa powder. It's 6 ingredients for this.
This, you know.
Dairy-free, no problems with dairy here.
Koobies, if this is just like Koobies, it would be
almost
worth growing up in Dallas here. Almost.
BK, watch it. Watch what you say.
I mean, we, of course, had Ratners, but, you know.
Oh, well, we had Ratners.
And Moishies. We had Moishies on 2nd Avenue. Except I bet Koobies didn't have the mice running up the front windows like Moishies
did. No, it didn't. And, you know, okay, so we didn't have such places, but you didn't have good Tex-Mex. So
no, I didn't even know what that was until I went to college.
You didn't. You didn't even know what pulled pork was until you met me. So
no,
give me
in
a
my
break.
Family, I wouldn't have known. We ate a lot of bacon.
What? Jewish families don't eat pulled pork? What are you talking about?
We ate bacon like crazy, but that was the extent of the pork.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. I don't know what pork has to do with chocolate macaroons, but somehow we got there. Okay.
I mean, I've already bitten into one, and these are so good.
Well,
they're chewy on the inside. They're crunchy on the outside. They're so chocolatey.
They are. They're very... they're chewy on the inside, like you say, but they have this crunchy exterior to them. I want to tell you that although these are warm from the oven still a bit, they actually get better overnight. If you seal them in a container at room temperature overnight, they actually get a little better because they get denser even
They
on
do
the
get
inside.
Denser, which is really good. Yeah. And shockingly, they're not overly sweet. Despite the sweet meringue and the sweetened coconut, they're not overly sweet.
Before we get to the last segment of this podcast, let me say that we do have a newsletter. It comes out, about every 2 weeks. And this recipe will appear probably in that newsletter. You can sign up on our website. We don't collect your email. We don't sell it. We don't even allow the provider, MailChimp, to collect your email. Instead, it's all blocked from us and from them. So you can sign up and you can unsubscribe at any time you like. You can find that on our website, cookingwithbruceandmark.com. Okay, up next is the final segment of this episode, what's making us happy in food this week? Well, I guess I'm going to go back to one we've already done in terms of cooking, and that is those jammy oat bars. I am in the middle of teaching Faulkner. I know this is insane to talk about Faulkner in a cooking podcast, but I am in a six-week seminar on Faulkner that I'm teaching three novels. And I brought those jam oat bars that we made a couple weeks ago on the podcast and then appear on TikTok in a video and on Instagram under my name in a video. I brought them again. And let me just say that people just go crazy over them. Mm-hmm. There were maybe 35 people in the room and maybe about 100 people online, but there were about 35 people in the room for this seminar on Faulkner. And I brought, I don't know how many pieces you cut them into, and they were gone. There wasn't a single one left when I picked up my cutting board and walked out.
If you missed that episode, it is episode 30 of this podcast where we make those jammy oat bars, and you can listen to us make them or go to our TikTok channel and watch me make them there. But they are delicious. What's making me happy in food this week is something weird. It's dried pears. And I hated dried pears.
That is so weird.
I hated dried pears as a kid. But one of the recipes...
It's like saying prunes is making me happy this week.
Well, maybe they are. They made my grandmother happy.
Oh!
Those always prune
prunes
juice.
Always make you happy in the morning. Anyway, please do go on.
If they keep making you happy, you're not happy in the afternoon, if that makes any sense. But we have
please
a recipe in the new book we're working on for dried pears that are poached in a fennel syrup. And I love them so much, and I ordered a giant bag of dried pears to make this recipe, and I have extras. So I am liking my dried pears.
Yeah, we always have a stocked pantry of dried fruit because I love dried apples. I love apples, but I love dried apples.
Whenever we go anywhere there are apple rings in a store, you go crazy. And
you
buy them like it's all of a sudden going to be, you know, the apocalypse and you need the dried apples.
It's actually, you're the one who got me there because it is hard to find them. For example, at our local New England rural supermarket, you cannot find dried apples. So when I do go to a city, when the country boy goes to the city and I see them, I want them just like, I don't know, prostitutes. I don't know.
What? Trust me, there are prostitutes here in the country.
I don't know.
Of all sorts
of
varieties.
I'm trying to think what country boys want in the city. they want to ride the train. And
they want to go to a Broadway musical.
That ticker tape parades. Anyway, sorry. Let's go back to this. So we have a lot of dried fruit, and Bruce does have a lot of dried pineapple and also dried pears. They're great snacks. I like a little bit of sweet with a cup of tea in the middle of the afternoon, and a dried pear or dried apple is a really great thing to have along with my cup of tea. Okay, that's our weird podcast for this week. Good gosh. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of this journey. And we appreciate your spending your podcast time with us.
And every week we tell you what's making us happy in food this week. So please tell us what's making you happy in food this week at our Facebook group, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. We want to know what's happening in your life with food. And we will continue to share what's making us happy in food here at Cooking with Bruce and Mark.